Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in a relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. We are happy to be reporting our first episode of 2024. And we watched... Did that sentence make any sense?
Yes.
I don't think so. I questioned it as soon as I was saying it, but we're going to keep going. Because in 2024, we're embracing our flaws.
It made sense. I was like, I am happy to be here recording the first episode of 2024. I
said reporting. Like, we're reporting.
Oh.
Not even recording.
Oh, okay. Well, we are reporting. We record and
we report. Live from Salt Lake and Denver. Live to us and will be a couple days to you. But we both watched two Netflix original movies, Maestro and Leave the World Behind. I actually don't even know if I'm pronouncing Maestro correctly.
You are, as far as okay, I know.
That's all that matters.
Maestro.
My sister kept saying kind of pronunciating the A and the E, and I was like, and she watched the Actors on Actors with him.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Bradley Cooper, him.
Does he say it that way?
No, I don't know. I just assumed that she knew better than me because she watched that. But
I think that,
you know what? We're going with Maestro today.
Yeah, no offense to her. She's very, very great in other ways. I think that's wrong. I think you're right. No offense, Carly.
Can't wait for the text I'll get after she listens to this episode.
Maestro. Never. If that's right, I've been wrong, and every other time I've heard it said, it has also been wrong. So,
before we get into those Netflix movies, we have a little bit of news to start us off. Jordan, did you see the pictures / have you heard of the show for Apple TV Plus called Masters of Air?
No.
I am surprised that we, because again, I feel like I say this frequently now, but it's always surprising to me when a show is like about to come out and I've never heard of it because we like keep tabs on new stuff so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming out January 26th on Apple TV Plus, and it's like starring Austin Butler and very popular person Barry Coffin? Is that how you pronounce his last name?
This is where I have no idea. Keoghan? Is how it's
Keoghan?
Spelled. That's the Barry that we're talking about, right?
Yeah. Yes, that is him.
I have no idea. I've never been brave enough to say it.
Well.
But I bet you're
that's
right.
That's how we're saying it here on this pod.
It's like a more Irish pronunciation, I think, would be like what you're saying. Coffin or something.
Well, I'm
like
never
that.
Saying it again, so I guess we'll,
me neither.
We'll never know.
Call him Barry K.
But anyway, they're in it. And
wow.
The photos are giving very Catch-22 vibes.
Mm.
Because it's like based on a novel, and it's about men flying in the Air Force during Nazi Germany times.
I've literally never heard of this at all.
I know, isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah, and they're both those guys are very buzzy.
I was like a little indifferent to the show, but yeah.
Yeah. That's weird. So many things on Apple just feel fake. They just feel like fake TV shows, you know?
Totally.
Because of things like that.
Yeah, we'll see how people are liking it and if it's enough to get us to watch it.
I know, because like war stuff is like... One of the things I hate about myself, if we're embracing our flaws, is war things are like of zero interest to me. So we'll see if it's good. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to know more, and I'll watch it, but I'll just not immediately want to. Speaking of Apple TV, did you see that they posted just a picture with no caption on Twitter today of Adam Scott in Severance? And I couldn't tell if it's a new photo. He looks really haggard. Or is it just a joke on today, everyone hating going back to work on January 2nd? Like,
okay.
Literally don't know.
I I also bookmarked this because I saw this too. Because I was like, what? Someone else, clearly in our same For You page, posted like, what is it like? What is this yes. kind of thing? I'm assuming that's how you saw it. Yes. And so I also was like, what does this mean? And so I went to their Twitter and they had right before that posted another tweet of like a clip from Severance season one about like not remembering what even happened this weekend.
Literally right before we recorded, when I opened up Twitter, another For You page thing was that popped up for me was Ben Stiller replying to someone that said, give us a sign at Ben Stiller. And he said, we're working on it. Salute emoji. Which honestly, at first I was like, oh my gosh, yay. But that is confirming nothing. I think what
nothing
tying in with what you're saying too, is that it's just like, he's like, yeah, TBD. And Apple TV is ruining everyone's lives with by posting that as like a meme.
Yes. Yes. Ugh. Like, it's not in the trash can right now. This is basically all we know.
Yeah.
But it's funny. I saw another tweet that was like, no one wants to get their asses up and work on Severance season two.
I saw that too. It's like no one wants to work on Severance season two anymore. Oh, you know what? That meme will never get old.
I agree.
That's hilarious. And I agree. We all, literally everyone wants it. And it made today was already hard enough. And now it's worse because Apple TV is just trolling us, basically.
Sadly, my last piece of news is kind of a flop, but maybe interesting.
Wow.
The Bachelor, the Golden Bachelor, they're getting married on live television, I think this month.
Whoa.
And one of the contestants, her name's Susan, she looks like Kris Jenner, is going to be the one officiating the wedding, which I think is really funny, and she is really fun.
That is hilarious. Well, they need to do something after all the flop news. Curse.
It's true. Bachelor. Stuff.
Golden Bachelor.
Flop era, for sure.
That is really sad. And it reminds me, I need to be loyal to F-Boy Island, which I have watched 0 seconds of. So.
Same. My sister's watched it, and she said it was worth watching.
Okay, good.
I think that was her review. Sadly, we had to cut out Jordan's last piece of news because after further investigation, it ended up being a fake news Twitter.
I was fooled.
What was the tweet? What was the Twitter handle, Jordan?
This bussing film. So yeah, so it
don't
was
fall.
Not real.
Don't fall for that.
They got me. Diva
Twitter
down.
Account.
Oy. Whatever, I don't care.
No one will ever know what the tweet is that you fell for except for me.
Perfect.
Okay, for our top three, because who doesn't watch stuff all during the Christmas time? I hate calling it break because for working people, it's not really a break. At least it wasn't for us. We still mm-hmm. had to work. It was just like a couple days here and there.
Yeah.
But... So we just wanted to catch up on what we've been watching. Jordan, what shows have you been watching while you've been hibernating like me?
Well, one thing that I was continuing to watch that I did bring up last week as well is getting caught up on Great British Bake Off. And I wanted to bring that up again because after watching more of these newer episodes, I'm still not to the new season that came out this year, because one of the person I thought was going to win just got eliminated, and it really threw me for a loop. Maxie, she's
I loved her.
I was like, this girl's winning. Like everyone else, this is a joke. And then she freaking got eliminated, and I was like, I'm done for a while. I have to leave. But what I was thinking, I think that Noel is more interrupty in these new seasons. I was
sense.
Like, you know what? I don't remember it being like this in his early seasons or in the Mel and Sue old seasons.
Mm-hmm.
They always talk to them while they're baking, but I feel like, are they being directed to pester or something. And I noticed it more after we talked about it a little bit last week. And I agree. And I don't think it was always like that.
No. That is, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that was actually one of my things that I watched. My sister and I went back and watched one of the holiday specials where the Dairy Girls were on it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I don't even know when it came out, but it was Noel and a woman who were like the hosts.
Yeah, I like their vibe together. They're fun.
Yeah, they were good. And I didn't feel like Noel was like annoying and interrupty like he is now. Mm-hmm. So we are in agreeance. And also, yes. I love that episode. It was so fun.
They're adorable.
They're so cute.
I think I've watched that one, but who knows when that was. But
yeah,
I should rewatch it. But yeah, so okay, this is good scientific research that we each did separately.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I did notice a difference when I was watching.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
I don't know why they would encourage that.
But I don't either, because I don't like it as a viewer. And no. The bakers clearly don't like it either.
They
so
visibly don't. They really, you can tell.
Mm-hmm. I'll add, since we both had Great British Bake Off, I'll go to my number two and say, my brother asked if we could watch the Barbie movie because he had not seen it yet.
Wow. You'd love to see it.
I loved that he asked, and our whole family got to watch it together. And I'm so glad it's on HBO Max, because it's like you thought that everybody saw that movie when it came out, but there are still people who haven't. Like, I have a couple coworkers who had like just watched it for the first time now that it's streaming.
Whoa.
Anyway, it's also just fascinating to see how the Barbie takeover over the Max app. I think I may have talked about this. Maybe not. I've been talking about it with a few people. I just think it's really interesting. And I'm like, are they paying to have that much real estate on Max? Or is like Max paying them? I don't know. I just would love to know how that works.
Well, like from our perspective, like from a marketing perspective, it is kind of like those assets, like that getting all those the artwork designed and everything. But I think that it's good press for Max. So I would think that they probably
are paying Barbie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess if it was already they have Warner Brothers, it was already
they have a bunch of like behind the scenes videos.
Yeah, I heard there's even
that are
like
showing up on their homepage.
DVD commentary with Greta version to watch.
Yes,
or something.
Which I was kind of mad I didn't watch that one.
Yeah, I need to watch that. But I love DVD commentary. Yeah, that's very interesting. I wonder if like because it's a Warner Brothers movie, Max is now owned by, or maybe always was. I don't remember. I don't remember all the details. But like they're Warner Brothers, so they're probably like, you have to do all this.
It's just part of the contract of them getting Barbie in general.
Yeah, maybe. And they really do. They're like, finally, we have this the most popular thing in the world. Everyone hates us a little bit. But now we have all this fun Barbie stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very interesting.
My next thing that I watched is Black Swan. That is, I don't remember if we talked about it on the podcast. I think I just told you. I was like, oh, I've never seen Black Swan. I can't wait to watch it.
Yes. How did you like it?
I loved it. It was funny because I feel like it's memed a lot. There's so many scenes I've kind of seen or whatever. But it was honestly amazing. And especially after watching Natalie Portman in May, December, wow, was it funny to watch her do this. Very different. But yeah, I loved it. I felt like it lived up to the hype and felt timeless, because that came out a really long time ago. I think like
that's what I was gonna say. It's impressive that for your first watch being, and it like came out so long ago, that it still holds up. So that is great.
Yeah, and
I'm
so
glad you finally watched it.
Me too. It was a big checklist item for sure. And I feel like I even knew most of like the twists by this point, but it was still fun to just watch things develop and unravel, and great acting and
totally
it was great.
Mila Kunis is in that too, which is also kind of crazy,
because
she's never really been in a movie like that since. I feel like
I think that's like the only prestige movie that I know that she's in, and it's like one of the most prestigious movies of all time. I feel like
Yeah.
Someone that was funny and had a very, very brief, tiny part was Sebastian Stan.
Oh.
That was funny. I was like, hey.
That's always a fun part of watching an old movie, too. Mm-hmm. Is like seeing people early on before they like got big. And like they just have like these small side parts.
Yeah.
I love it.
It was really fun.
Okay, the last thing I've been watching, and I'm not done with it yet, but I've been binging the Ultimatum Queer Love series Netflix. And it's really interesting because I've never really watched any queer dating reality shows. And
there's really not that many.
So it just,
it's really weird, actually. Like, that's
it's
a huge
very odd
market that no one's really tapping into except for this right now.
Yeah. And I feel like maybe like The Bachelor, it's like, well, could it work because like everyone there would be attracted to other contestants kind of
thing.
That
would
be
a cool dynamic.
But I think that's what's interesting.
Yes.
And that's why I think this show is perfect for queer people, because like the whole thing is that you switch partners and like try living with someone else.
What's like the premise of it again? It's like a long-term couple. And they,
someone gives an ultimatum of marriage or breakup.
Okay.
And so then they come on the ultimatum and with other couples who have been given the ultimatum, and they switch. They like meet each other and kind of like date around, and then they make a choice of who they want to be their like fake marriage person.
Okay.
And then they live together for 3 weeks and like try being like married, and then they get back together with their exes and live with them for 3 weeks, and then at the end they have to decide if they want to get married to their original partner, date their new partner, or leave single. And wow. I've never watched the ultimatum in general, so I don't really know. I feel like I remember hearing the original ultimatum, like everybody stayed with their original partner.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just got to the part where they're moving back in with their original partner. So.
Wow.
I don't know. It's fun.
Very
I like
intriguing.
It.
Intriguing.
It's very low budget. And it's just always fun to see how different reality shows do things.
Yeah, totally. I'm intrigued by that. Especially because like I never watched the latest season of Love is Blind. I'm kind of just like, actually it was really funny on a trip I took when I went to Vancouver with Courtney and her sister. Her sister had never watched Love is Blind season one. And so we were like, we have to, like, I kind of want to watch it again and see, especially in comparison to like the newer seasons and stuff. And it was very entertaining. But I'm kind of like, besides that, I'm kind of burned out on Love is Blind. But I still like, and I burned out on Bachelor. But I'm like, I welcome these new formats, you know, like, so I think I'll
totally
add that to my list. I want to try it out. I kind of just forget that it exists, you know?
I know. Same.
So I'm glad.
Well, and there's so
me.
Many different reality shows out there. Mm-hmm. I had a friend recommend this one to me, so that was why I started it.
You know what I've heard is good? I can't remember what channel it's on. It might be on Paramount Plus because I feel like it might be MTV. Are You the One? Have you heard of that one?
Oh.
Where it's like, you could, someone in the house is your like perfect soulmate based on something, and you have to figure out who it is.
I was like, what's that quiz? How do we take it?
Yeah, seriously, sign me up. But
I think
sister,
we watched a show about that and didn't like it.
Yeah, but it wasn't a reality show, like on the beach or something. I think my sister watched that and it was good. And I think that there's people in the house that are queer. And so, like, you literally are trying to, like, it could be anybody in this house.
Interesting.
I need to do more research, but that one also sounds good, you know?
Yeah, it kind of sounds like Claim to Fame.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Like a dating show at the same together.
Yes, 100%.
I like it.
Ugh, that's fun. My last thing, I watched Saltburn now that it's on Prime. And I thought it was fine. I feel like the more that I think about it, the more I can forgive its flaws because it is kind of a fun time. There's definitely a couple parts. Like, I couldn't say it's not shocking enough. There's definitely stuff in there that shocked me. But I still feel like there's a lot of ways it could have gone further.
I totally agree.
I think like maybe like the emotions, the emotional side of things, and like for some of the relationships totally could have gone further. And more out there. But it was a good time, and it's probably one of the best looking movies I've seen this year. Probably tied with like Poor Things. They both were like pretty mind-blowingly beautiful to look at. But I think what's interesting is the discourse on it, which I think we'll kind of touch on a bit with Maestro for sure, where I feel I don't see what is in this movie to absolutely hate. Like, I don't really get people that are like, this is like the stupidest movie. I'm like, yeah, I wasn't really saying anything, but it wasn't bad, you know?
I completely agree. And this is actually a really good segue into my thoughts on Maestro. But like, where are people getting the idea that like every movie has to be like commentary on something, or like they're trying to say this by showing it like this? Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, I do think that Saltburn has some commentary on like rich people, but it's not like trying to say like tax the rich, and rich people are bad for this reason and this reason.
No.
It's just like, it doesn't have to be that deep. It can just be fun, vibey, silly movie.
Yes.
And that's exactly what it gives you.
Great performances all around. You know, like, actors doing things I've never seen any of them do. Like,
mm-hmm.
I honestly think that the hate I'm seeing makes me more defensive of it and like the movie more, because I don't think it's deserving of hate. I think it was a fun, crazy time.
I thought, like, it's interesting because it's made by the same person who made Promising Young Woman. And I do think that some of the commentary on that movie was way more valid, because with that movie, like, there was a very strong tone and like storyline about like rape. And so like, and the way that it ended was a little bit kind of like, so what are you trying to say? But like with this one, it really, I don't understand all of the hate, because the vibes are pristine.
Yes. I think
to me
that comparison is really good, because I feel like Emerald Fennell, or Fennel, I can't, another name I don't say out loud very often. I feel like it's like,
now we're really self-conscious.
Yeah. Tiptoeing around it. I feel like maybe she's an imperfect filmmaker or something, but like her style is peak. Like it's like, but it doesn't bother me, you know, like she takes huge swings, and I really respect that. And I do agree that Promising Young Woman basically like was set out to be commentary and to be like a message movie kind of. And so I feel like maybe when we were just talking about it last week or something, I think you brought up like people are probably approaching Saltburn through the lens of Promising Young Woman, and like they're extremely different movies.
Yeah.
So like the same critiques very don't different. Really apply. They do center on like a very intense and like off kilter and unhinged main character, like ready to risk it all. So there are similarities, but like the movies themselves are really different.
Very
different goals for sure.
Well, I'm glad you liked it. Although I'm over kind of all of the commentary and all of the memes and stuff on it, I still really liked it. Okay, should we get into Maestro?
Yes, let's do Maestro first. Because you're right, that's good segue.
I really liked this movie. I was kind of surprised. I didn't really have any expectations going into it, because I don't have a lot of... I don't care one way or another about Bradley Cooper, I feel like. I was a little bit bored in the beginning and like kind of anticipating that I wouldn't like it. But as it went on, I was a lot more invested. And especially when it changed to color, from black and white to color, that helped me. I thought it was really beautiful both ways. But I was able to pay more attention in color, I felt like. And yeah, I felt like this movie, I have a hard time with biopics usually, so that was another thing that it didn't have going for me. But it felt way less like a biopic and more just like a story that just happens to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of was the vibe that I took. But I know that there are people online having trouble with the fact that this is a biopic and feel like this didn't go deep enough into his life and like his artistry type of thing, which I just don't think that that's what this movie was for.
Yeah, I'm on the same page with you.
How'd you like it?
I think something I'm realizing too is that I almost, when I heard about the movie, I wasn't really that excited about it because I also don't love biopics. I feel like they're usually very formulaic. They're really the same thing each time. And I also liked that this was very different from that and focused on like the emotional side of their relationships and of Bernstein and his wife and like their relationship throughout their lives. And I thought it was very emotional. I felt very connected to them, especially towards the end. I was very emotional about it. Like, it had me crying several times. I thought it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting way to tell their story, especially about his wife, Felicia, who I didn't know who she was before. I knew who Leonard Bernstein was, but didn't know anything about his wife. And I thought their relationship was really complicated and, like, beautiful, though, too. I thought it was very good.
I agree.
I was also surprised at the... I heard a lot of good reviews that made me more intrigued by the movie. And so I was like excited and ready to watch it for the podcast. And then I'm kind of seeing a lot of hate about it online. People saying it's stupid. And I was like, okay, you cannot like a movie, but they're saying like it's trash and it's a stupid movie. And I'm like, I really don't agree. I think this was a good movie. Like, was it my number one of the year? No, I don't think so. But I thought it was very good. Bradley Cooper is a very interesting person to me now. Like, again, like you, I'm kind of neutral on him, but I'm like, wow, he makes these really like pretty interesting movies I wouldn't expect from this guy.
Totally. I thought that Carey Mulligan also did an amazing job and kind of outshone him a little bit, which yeah. I loved.
Yeah. She was amazing.
And also, I felt like the makeup was incredible. Jordan was saying this earlier today, and I agreed that I thought I'd be more distracted by it, but
mm-hmm.
it looked great.
Yeah. I was impressed. I was impressed by this whole movie.
I would even maybe say I liked it better than A Star Is Born. Although, like, I don't really agree with, like, comparing things that are so different, but, like, I think I did. It was more my scene.
A Star Is Born, there were some parts that, I always remember seeing it. I only watched it once, because it's freaking long. Just the time that we actually saw it together in the theater. And I remember being like, really? Like, this is a weirdly paced movie. And like, I felt like it was kind of campy, like silly. And this one mm-hmm. I thought was a very like good, serious movie. So it's like, I definitely like this better than Star Is Born. I respect Star Is Born for everything it gave us, you know. I thought, and I thought Lady Gaga was better in Star Is Born than Bradley Cooper was, for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
Back at the time. But yeah, are people saying this is not as good as Star Is Born? Because I just feel like that is incorrect. Sorry to those people.
I don't know. I actually, I haven't even really thought about comparing the two until just now. And wow. So I don't know if that's a hot take or not, but that's how we feel.
Yeah. This made me intrigued to see like, what is another movie that he'll make? I feel like he has my attention.
Yeah, definitely. And he's dating Gigi Hadid right now, which I think makes him more interesting too.
I always forget about that. That's so weird. But
it's really interesting. Right. Okay. On to Leave the World Behind. Leave the World Behind is a Netflix movie that I'm sure you've seen at the top of your Netflix trying to make you watch it. I mean, at least it was for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a stacked cast with Julia Roberts, Mahershala Ali, Ethan Hawke, our favorite girl from industry, Mahala, and also Kevin Bacon, which is important to know. And I believe it's based off of a book. I went into this movie with like literally zero information. I had no idea kind of what I was getting into. I had watched the trailer and that was it. So I knew it was kind of a little bit thriller-ish.
Mm-hmm. Tense.
And yeah, I liked it. I feel like it was one of the better Netflix movies and it like kept my attention. And usually when you have this stacked of a cast, it makes me hesitant because I feel like they're trying to use that to hide like bad storylines and plots.
Yeah, like they spent all their money on getting these actors and they didn't have any left to like write a script.
Exactly. Exactly.
I feel that.
But I thought it was fun. I don't think it's the best movie I've ever seen, but it was like a good watch and also surprisingly seemed like something that everyone could watch. Like I told my parents to watch it.
Yeah, totally. There's nothing, I don't think there's anything offensive in this.
No. Not. Or like it wasn't too spooky.
No.
It was like a good amount of spooky.
Yeah, it's not, I wouldn't call it like a horror movie, but there's definitely like parts that are like very creepy.
Yeah, eerie.
Yeah. I'm on the same page as you. I do think there's just something about Netflix movies where there's gonna be a boring part. And this actually did have a boring part a little bit, but not nearly as bad as some other ones.
I like thinking about Netflix executives like sitting in room and being like, okay, now what boring part are we going to have in this movie?
Guys, we've got to fill our boring quota. There has to be a boring part.
This movie's too exciting.
It's true, though. Like, if you're playing Netflix original bingo, there's going to the free spaces has kind of a boring part.
We're Netflix. We're going to have a boring part of a movie.
Exactly. But yeah, overall, I thought this was good. I think something it was reminding me of a little bit, just based on really only like the plot of it, was the another Netflix original, White Noise, that one with like Adam Driver and Greta Gerwig. And so I that one was like very quirky, weird. And so I was like, is this one going to be kind of quirky, weird too? But it actually wasn't. It was like, this was like, what if just a handful of like regular people start having really weird stuff happen? What would you do in this scenario? And I'm like, yeah, this is relatable. Another thing was like, the situation that happens in the movie, it's all very weird, but it could actually happen. So that added to the creepiness for sure. Because you really are like imagining, like, what would I do in this scenario?
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And not fun and fun all at the same time. But yeah, I thought it was worth a watch. I think if we're going to compare these two movies we're talking about, Maestro is higher quality for sure.
Yeah.
But neither one was a total flop at all.
No, I agree. Go Netflix. Maybe they're on the up and up when it comes to their original movies.
Maybe.
We'll report back for the next one.
Yeah, we'll watch them all. We'll let you know how many boring parts there are.
Okay, who's your crush of the week?
My crush of the week is... I'm gonna say, because I've been a hater in the past, but I have to give it up to Jacob Elordi. Like, it's not his fault that he was so good at playing a sociopath on what is that show called?
Euphoria.
Yes. I was like, Equilibrium. No. There were a lot of letters in there flipped around. But he's been living up to all this hype and all these good parts that he's getting. Like, he was, he's good in Saltburn. And I thought, bringing it back to Priscilla that I saw last month, I thought he was amazing as Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's, I think, like, setting a high bar, I think. And he's getting all these new roles, and I think he deserves them, and I'm excited to see more from him.
Me too. He's more than just a pretty face.
Yeah, he really is.
And
I thought he was just a pretty scary face, but actually he is good. And I, you know what really won me over? What really won me over was when he said in that interview that he learned about Elvis from Lilo and Stitch. that was where he had first heard of Elvis. And I was like, okay, I like this guy now.
I guess press is good.
Yeah, it is.
It's needed.
I have been turned.
We also needed to see him picking up Barry's cup because I watched that movie, that clip from there, that press interview many a times. So I think for my crush, I'm going to say Carrie Mulligan. I just, she was so good. And I love seeing her acting.
Do her thing.
Do her thing.
She will never let you down.
Ever. No, she will not.
That reminds me, I need to, I don't know if you saw this, but I saw this earlier where someone posted a clip of the real Leonard and Felicia doing that like TV interview where she's like rattling off all of his projects that he's doing. And they're saying like,
oh,
wow, look at like her real voice. And then Carrie Mulligan, they don't, I don't think they have a direct comparison in the video, but it's like, wow, look at how great a job Carrie did, like sounding like her and stuff. Is very
interesting. You'll have to send that to me.
Very
love that.
Valid crush.
All right, well, there you have it. First episode of the year, and can't wait to do more. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.